the Bible this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to talk about building a legacy. A legacy that remains, a legacy that lasts. Not only as long as we're here, but it extends into the next generation and the generation after that, if the Lord tarries. First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." Let's pray this morning. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you once again. We thank you for your word, and we ask for the anointing and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that it would be you speaking into our lives, Lord. I pray that you would set me aside, that it would be you who speak. Lord, I pray that you open every heart, every mind to your word this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. We all say amen. Here, the Apostle Paul speaking about building. Because we know if there was somebody also in the Bible that left a great legacy, it would have to be the Apostle Paul, right? He built churches. He raised up disciples. And he's speaking about our work. What are we building here this morning? He's throwing a question. He's like, all of us are building something. Some of us, amen, he uses all the different materials. Some are using gold and silver and costly stones to build their lives and their ministries. And others are using common things like wood and hay and straw to build, amen. But it says that their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, the word day meaning the day when Jesus comes again. How many know Jesus is coming back? Do you guys believe that? It says it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has built survives, the builder will receive a reward. See, Pastor Herb's legacy, amen, is Pastor, he's receiving his reward right now, because what he built here on the earth is going to survive. It's going to extend into the next generation, amen? But the quality, God here is concerned with the quality of our lives. He's concerned with the quality of what we're doing with our lives, how we're building our lives. What are we living for this morning? So we got to ask ourselves a few questions here this morning. When people like Pastor Herb and when Pastor Ed passed and, you know, great men of God, it always brings me to a place of questioning my life. God, what am I building? What am I leaving behind? What kind of legacy will you and I leave behind? Will it last after we're gone? Will it survive the fire? Is it quality? Is it making an eternal impact in people's lives? Will it last? What is the quality of our lives? What are we building? And we know many people, you know, we think about these kinds of things, especially maybe at the end of the year or at the beginning of a new year. or when loved ones pass and we realize that maybe our time isn't as long as we think it is, it gets us to the place of kind of reevaluating our lives. Paul said he laid the foundation as a wise builder. Pastor Herb built a great legacy. Is going to endure the prayers that he prayed. He was one of the prayer overseers over Victory Outreach International. The people that he reached, including Pastor Charlie, the churches that he planted, including this one. See, he was saved radically from drug addiction, from life on the streets. God gave him a calling to preach the gospel. And how many thank God that he was faithful to the end. He was faithful to the end. Amen. He died praying and counseling somebody. Amen. He died trying to help the hurting. Pastor Herb had both hands on the plow. He wasn't looking back, but he had both hands on the plow. Amen. Building, battling, praying, believing God, that God was going to do a work in even that person's life. That God was going to do a work in the churches that he planted in his city, all around the world. He had his hands to the plow, and eventually he gave his life for the gospel. His death reminds us of two things that we can never forget. Number one, it reminds us that God has called us to do a great work. God has called you and me and Victory Outreach International to a great, great work. Not just a little life that is lived, that is here today and gone tomorrow, but God has called us as Victory Outreach to reach the inner cities of the world. God has called us to go into those places that nobody else wants to go. Those neighborhoods that nobody else wants to reach. Those people in the prisons and that are down and out that everybody else has forgotten about. But those are the ones that God has called us to reach. Why? Because many of us have been there, done that. That was us at one time. Until God reached down and pulled us out of addiction, out of that mess, out of that misery, and he gave us a purpose. Purpose is my favorite word. Because God did not save us just so we can get saved and go to heaven, but just kind of live menial lives here on the earth, just like everybody else. To live just like the world. What makes us any different? No, my friend, God has called us and he saved us for a purpose. He has a work for us to do. Pastor Herb died, amen, with his hands at work, fulfilling the Great Commission. We have a work to do. And how many know, many times we can get caught up and we can forget how precious the work that God has called us to do. What great of a privilege that God has given us. He entrusted us. Can you imagine? God entrusting you with such a work, with such a privilege to go all over the world and reach the hurting. I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life I couldn't be trusted. Am I the only one this morning? Am I speaking in Victory Outreach this morning? Or is this the church around the corner that has everything all together? We couldn't be trusted. I know for myself, I couldn't be trusted. So when I was, you know, a very young teenager, my mom kicked me out the house. She says, get out of my house and don't come back. Because everything was coming up missing. Her purse was coming up missing. Her checks, money out of her account was coming up missing. We couldn't be trusted. But today, God entrusts us with the souls of men and women. The most precious thing to him, the most precious thing in the sight of God is somebody's soul, somebody's life. He looks at the world and he sees those that are broken. He sees those that are hurting. And so we can never forget the work that God has called us to do, to reach the inner cities of the world, to reach this city, the city of Milwaukee. But how many know it's not going to stop here? It's not going to stop in this city. We're not just here, just trying to build a little neighborhood church in Milwaukee. Amen. Victory Outreach, we're trying to take the world for Jesus. And we ain't going to be satisfied until there's a work of Victory Outreach in every inner city of the world, my friend. But there's a lot of cities that need help. There's a lot of cities, amen, that don't have a church, that don't have a recovery home, that don't have somebody out there ministering in the streets. There are a lot of cities with a void. There is a lot of cities crying out for a people, crying out for somebody to come and preach the gospel. There's neighborhoods crying out. But are you willing to roll up your sleeves and put your hands to the plow like Pastor Herb and not never look back? And build something that lasts. Me and my wife are getting ready because there's people crying out in Jacksonville, Florida. Amen. We're going to be going and establishing a church there in Jacksonville. Why? Because God has a work for us to do. As Brother Felipe said, our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price. What work is it that God has called you to do? Is your hands to the plow? Or are we still sitting around dreaming and just wondering, I don't know what God's called me to do. I don't know. I'm just kind of just here, just kind of, you know, I'm waiting for it to fall out of the sky and God to write it on the wall. How many know God will reveal the specifics of his work as we put our hands to the plow, as we begin to labor, as we begin to toil and put our hands to the plow, fulfilling the Great Commission? God's plan for our lives will become more and more clear. So God has a work for us to do. Are you joining in the work? Are you joining in the work? Because here in Milwaukee, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, they cannot do it alone. It's not them. It's not only them that are called to build the church here in Milwaukee. All of us are required to build. All of us are required to work. Some it's in the preaching department. Some it's in the music department. Some it's in the children's ministry department. Some it's in the street. Some it's in the recovery home. Some within the youth, amen. There's so many different areas of ministry that make up the church. There's something for everybody to do. But are your hands to the plow here this morning? Do you wake up with the realization in the morning that, man, God has a work for me to do? Two, the second thing, as I think about Pastor Herb, it reminds us of, is not only does God have a work for us to do, he's called us to do a great work, but also that there is limited time in which we can do God's work. Limited time in which we could do God's work. See, many are living their lives for temporal things, for earthly pleasures, things that will never last. Settling for temporary pleasures of this world. But how many have that desire within inside of you to live for something greater? To build a legacy that, is going to last into the future. Many times we think that we have all the time in the world to fulfill God's purpose, to fulfill God's calling upon our lives. And we say things like, well, maybe I'm young and I have some time yet. But how many know the Bible says tomorrow's not promised? We don't know how long we have to do God's will, to do God's work. All we know is that Jesus is coming soon. He's given us a work to do. So the time to do the work is not tomorrow or next month or next year. The time to do God's work is today. It is now. Our theme for the past year was the time is now, right? The time is now to do God's work because we don't know how long we're going to have to do the work. I don't know about you, but one thing that I think about a lot is I don't want to get to the end of my life and to feel regret. How many know what it feels like to feel regret? The things that you thought you should do that you didn't do. The things that you did do and now you realize you shouldn't have done. Amen. We've all been there. We've all done things we shouldn't have. We've all, you know, didn't do things that we should have. And you can't change the past. We can't go backwards and change the past. All we can do is cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus because he forgives us. He cleanses us. But today is a new day. Today is a new day. And he says within his word that if you hear his voice today, don't harden your hearts. We can't change the past, but we can change the future. And we can change our today. But we can't let the past hold us back from what we're doing today and what we're going to do tomorrow. Well, I can't do that because of, you know, what I did in the past. I think if there's a ministry that exists, amen, that doesn't matter what you did in the past, God can still use you. It's Victory Outreach, right? Because look at all the pastors in Victory Outreach. Most of them are ex-drug addicts and gang members and, you know, prostitutes are now pastors' wives. And, I mean, who would have thought? So, obviously, the past, what you did in the past doesn't have any hold on you when you're covered in the blood of Jesus. So there might be some here this morning, because this ain't even in my notes. There might be some here this morning that you need to let go of something. You need to let go of some regret. You need to let go of some unforgiveness. You need to let go of that wrong that was done to you. And let it go. And not allow it to hold you captive and hold you bondage any longer for fulfilling the work that God has for you to do. You just got to let it go. Tell your neighbor, let it go. You just got to let it go. Luke chapter 17. Verses 26 to 35, this is Jesus speaking. You see, we all say that Jesus is coming back, right? I don't think a lot of us really believe that he could come back at any moment. I know for myself, I get caught off guard. Do we really believe that Jesus is gonna, that his coming is imminent, that it's soon, that it's around the corner? Do we say we believe that, but I don't think we really do. Because if we really believe that, our lives would be a little different. Our day-to-day activities might be a little different. Luke 17, 26, Jesus says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. Right? Everything was going about as usual in the time of Noah. Noah was there building the ark. Everybody else, they were eating and drinking and going to the movies and, you know, buying Christmas presents and, you know, doing day-to-day activities, going to work, coming home, going to Starbucks, having their coffee, right? Oh, they didn't have Starbucks back then. Too bad. They were going about their daily business. But one day, it started to rain. And the door of the ark was shut. And the Lord sealed it. And it was too late. Don't you think there was people when it started to rain, knocking on the ark? No, let us in, let us in, let us in. Don't you have any compassion? Don't you have any mercy? Noah says, I warned you for 40 years. It's too late. But there was no, big signs of the times necessarily, except for Noah building the ark. But one day it was too late. One day it's going to be too late, my friend. It goes on to say it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on a housetop with possessions inside should go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife? She turned into a pillar of salt. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 through 12 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. All throughout Scripture, you see Jesus warning, I'm coming soon. And we think just because he hasn't come in the last 2,000 years, that he's just kind of taking his time, that he's not going to come in my generation. He's not going to come while I'm still alive. But all throughout Scripture, you see the clear depiction that Jesus says, I'm going to come and I'm going to come like a thief, meaning everything's going to be seem normal. Everyone's going to be going about their business. They're going to be going to work and coming home and waking up and watching TV. And everything's just going to be normal until one day Jesus is going to show up in the sky. He's going to come back for his people. And it's going to be too late for those that are not saved. There's no second chances. There's no knocking on the door like those people in the days of Noah saying, let us in, Jesus, have a little compassion, have a little mercy. Jesus, forgive me. It's too late. He's warned us within his word, but did we take heed? See, Jesus is trying to get us to be ever conscious and ever aware of the shortness of our time on the earth. And when we hear of someone passing, it reminds us how short life is. So because our time is short, we only have so long to make an impact. Some might have 5 years, some might have 50 years left. I don't know. Only the Lord knows. But what is 2 years versus 100 years in the realm of eternity is nothing. It's like a vapor. You know, the Bible says, what is your life? It's just a vapor here today and gone tomorrow. So we only have a limited window, a limited time to make an impact in the lives of people that are hurting, to make an impact in our families. We only have a limited time to get it right. A limited time. I've had people come through the home that came through the home a couple times, and they thought, well, I could just go back to the home when I'm ready. And then they ended up dying out there. Ended up overdosing. When I tried to tell them, hey, brother, just stay in the home. Just stay in the home. Because they thought they had more time to get it right. But our time is limited. All of our time is limited. You see, this is why the Apostle Paul and the early disciples of Jesus, why they made such a powerful impact in the world in such a short period of time. When you think about the early church, people were getting saved every day. Somebody say every day. Every day people were getting saved. Churches were being planted. Cities were being taken. Amen. And within just their generation, I mean, they had reached most of the known world. Why were they able to make such a large impact in such a short period of time? One reason. They believed with all their heart that Jesus is going to come back at any moment. And it's living with that expectation, that expectancy, it's that anticipation that Jesus is around the corner that drove Paul and the disciples to put their hands to the plow and not look back. They didn't have time to waste. They didn't have time to play games. They didn't have time to, you know, look back and go back. They had to fulfill the work that God called them to do. And we know Paul and all the disciples, they died young. They didn't grow old of old age except for John the Apostle. They were all martyred for their faith. Paul knew that his time was limited. Read the book of 2 Timothy, his last letter that he wrote. And you could see, you could hear like within his heart, within his mind that he knew that his time was coming to an end. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul said he finished the race. He kept the faith. He kept his hands on the plow. Are we living with that awareness, with that expectancy that Jesus is, our time is limited? Think about what you would do if you knew that today is your last day. How many of us would live the same? We wouldn't. But that's why the early church made such a powerful impact. Because they realized the shortness of their time. And they had to make the most of it. And when I think about Pastor Herb, and you know, I'm just so grateful for men like him that had their hands to the plow. You know, for Pastor Ed and several of the elders that had their hands to the plow year after year after year after year after year. And within all the setbacks and struggles and people talking about them, they kept ministering and preaching and praying and believing God for greater things. And so it's an awesome thing. I don't know about you, but man, that's how I want to go out. I don't want to go out with regret. I don't want to go out and you know, on my tombstone it says, what could have been? What might have been? If he only put his hand to the plow. We have to live every day like we never know. But to make the most, the Bible says, to make the most of every opportunity. We have an opportunity today. What are we doing with it? In the book of John, chapter 9, verse 4, to me, this scripture has captured me for the past couple of years. It's just like really, I don't like reading it. Because it makes me think that our time is limited. My time is limited. Jesus speaking, he says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. There's a night coming when you will not be able to do the work of God. We all have a night. Today is day. He said, Jesus is saying, while it is day, while you have an opportunity, while you have, you know, the faculties in your hands and in your feet and your mind, and while you're sharp in your mind, amen, while it is day, do the work of God. Do the work of him who sent you, of him who saved you, because night is coming when you won't be able to work. Night is coming when it's going to be too late to reach that family member. Night is coming when it's going to be too late to reach that city. Night is coming when it's going to be too late. So while it is day, let's work. Let's put our hands to the plow. Because night is coming when no one can work. When the Son of Man comes, when Jesus returns again, there's not going to be no more working. There's not going to be no more saving of souls and reaching inner cities of the world. It's going to be it. The souls that we save, those are the ones that are going to be in heaven. But those that we fail to reach are going to spend eternity in hell. Quite possibly because we were a little idle and we didn't give ourselves to the work. See, Jesus had this mindset. That's why Jesus was intentional about everything he did. And that's why he was able to accomplish his whole ministry just in a few short years. This mindset that we have limited time, when we have that mindset, it produces diligence. It produces hard work. It produces faithfulness. These are some bad words for a lot of us, right? They're like, oh, man, who likes hard work? I don't want to work hard. I want to be lazy, be a couch potato. Faithfulness. How hard it is to find a faithful man of God nowadays. One that will be faithful year after year, in a good season, in a bad season, in a storm season, in a desert season, in an abundant season, to find those that are faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to the church, faithful to the ministry, faithful to the call of God. But if you realize your time is limited, there's no time to not be faithful. Because when Jesus comes again, we want him to find us ready. We want him to find us working. We want him to find us, amen, toiling in the harvest field. That's how we want Jesus to find us. What will he find you doing when he returns? This mindset will also produce in us fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. Many times I just don't feel like praying. But when you realize that your time is short, I believe one thing, I think they talked to Billy Graham. You know, he's like at the end of his life, way up there. He's like 98, I think, just barely hanging on. But I think they asked him, I think it was Billy Graham or another great evangelist, pretty sure it was him. He said, if you could change one thing about your ministry, what would it be? He said, I would have prayed more. You know, Billy Graham, man, God used him to save millions of souls. But he said, I would have prayed more. It will produce in us a fervent prayer. Because, right, the Bible says a fervent prayer of a righteous availeth much. Prayer works. You know how I know that? Because you're sitting in church this morning. Somebody prayed you in. Now it's up to you and me to pray in our lost loved ones and family members and neighbors and the wino on the street corner, amen. There is power in prayer if we would only pray with the fervency that maybe today's my last day to pray, so I'm going to pray with all I got. Not going to be lazy in my praying no more. But it produces that fervency in prayer. It also produces this mindset of limited time produces the mindset of radical faith. Somebody say radical faith. A radical faith. You know that your time is short, so there's nothing. If God called you to do it, you're going to do it. Yeah, it might seem crazy. It might not make sense. But there's limited time to do the work, to make an impact. So we're going to step out in faith. And to believe God. That God is going to give us every promise, every soul, every city that we set our foot into. Radical faith. See, the disciples had radical faith. They believed Jesus was right around the corner, about to come soon. So it prompted them to step out and evangelize and preach the gospel and go into those hardened places. Even though many of them had to die for it. Radical faith. Radical faith that says there is nobody beyond reach. If they are breathing, they are reachable with the power of God. Is there a people that believes that this morning? A faith that says anybody can change and anybody, amen, can become a man of God, a woman of God. Or are we like the rest of society that says, oh, it's too late for them. They're all messed up. They'll never change and they'll never get it together and there's no hope for them. See, that's what they said about me. My counselors and psychiatrists and my school principal said that about me. You ain't never gonna amount to nothing. I wish they could see me now. Come on, right? Radical faith that says anybody can make it. A people willing to do the impossible, to go to different places. See, I know we're going to need some radical faith to go to Jacksonville. Amen. Because you guys think of Florida. Ooh, it's nice and beautiful and Florida. And yeah, I know. Me and Pastor went there, amen. It's going to take some radical faith. It's a pretty tore up city in the inner city. It's going to need faith. A people that are willing to step out of their comfort zone and to go where no man has gone before. This mindset will also produce within our lives, we might not like this one, radical giving. Radical giving. Being willing to give radically. Knowing that, because when we realize, when we have this mindset that Jesus is coming soon and I have limited time to do his work, we also begin to realize that the temporal things of this world are things that we cannot take with us. Pastor Herb ain't taking his house with him to heaven. The temporal things that we live for, the houses and the cars and the clothes and, you know, we can't take these with us. We can't hold on to them. And that's why Jesus says, remember Lot's wife? As they were fleeing Sodom, running from the fire of God, burning up the city, Lot's wife looked back. And the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Because Lot's wife was attached to earthly possessions. She was scared to give it up. Their whole livelihood was there in that city, in Sodom. All their possessions, everything that they worked for all them years. And she just couldn't give it up. She wanted to look back at all that she was leaving behind. All of her possessions, looking back, holding on to things rather than focusing on the call of God ahead of her and the spiritual legacy that she would leave. Instead, Lot's wife, she left a legacy of attachment to the world and missed opportunity. that was her legacy. Attachment to the world. Her tombstone read, she loved things. Her tombstone read, she missed the opportunity of God. That was her legacy. I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave that kind of a legacy. He was so attached to things that he didn't have time for church. He didn't have time for God's calling upon his life. He was worried about this thing and that thing. And she missed the opportunity. Don't miss the door of opportunity for ministry that God has laid before you. Because let me tell you something, my friend. It will not remain open for long. There is a door of opportunity for ministry, for God's work in your life, in my life, that God will open. But that door will not remain open forever. It will not remain open for long. Some doors remain open longer than others. Some doors are just open one day and closed the next day. That's why Paul says, take advantage of every opportunity. Because you never know when the door of opportunity for ministry will be closed. That's why he says, and he stayed on in the city of Ephesus. He says, a great and effective door has been opened unto me. So I'm going to stay here and preach and minister and raise up disciples because, you know, God's opened up a door. So I'm gonna take advantage of the opportunity. What doors of opportunity is God opening for you? Don't be like Lot and miss the opportunity. Many miss their opportunity and trade the call of God for earthly pursuits and earthly pleasures, as if those things are more valuable than the call of God and the will of God. See, at the end of your life, you realize that those things are nothing, meaningless. Even somebody that's not saved or on their deathbed will look back at life and say, you know, all this stuff is just meaningless. What was important to them at the end is relationships and the people they helped and, you know, family and the people they helped build. Because earthly pleasures truly cannot satisfy. We think they satisfy for a season. But it's only the will of God that can truly satisfy your life. Some here might be pursuing pleasure and pursuing, you know, things of this world. But it's an endless pursuit. You'll keep pursuing. And then once you get it, you're going to want more. And you're going to pursue it. And you're going to get it. And you're going to want more. And you're going to pursue it. And you're going to get it. And you're going to want more. It's an endless pursuit that will never satisfy your soul. But when you're in the center of the will of God, doing the work of God, doing what God has called you to do, there is no greater joy. How many can say amen? So it's time, church. It's time for us to really think about the time that we have and to take advantage and to take up the mantle of this great vision that God has given our ministry and to begin to run with it. That's why the Bible says, write it down, the vision, so that the herald can run with it. Run with it. Take advantage of it. Because there are people that need to be reached. How many know somebody that needs to be reached with the love of Jesus? Today might be their last day. There's people that need to be reached. There's ministries that need to be built. There's churches that need to be planted. But let me tell you something else, that the work that God has called us to do, it ain't going to come without a fight. How many know it ain't going to become easy? It ain't going to come easy. If it was going to come easy, every chair in this place would be full already. No, it's not easy building ministry. It's not easy building broken lives. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. We have an adversary. It says, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. The devil knows that his time is short. He knows. He lives every day with the mindset that I have limited time. So he's filled with fury, and he's doing the work of destruction. Going about destroying what he can destroy, deceiving whom he can deceive. The devil is not idle. The devil is not sitting on a couch wondering, oh, what am I going to do today? Amen. What should I do today? No, he's on a mission filled with fury to destroy your life, to destroy your family, to destroy the city, to destroy our society. Because he knows that his time is short. He's got limited time. So he's going to do all that he can in the short time that he has to cause the most havoc that he can. So we too, our time is short. So we need to be filled with passion and zeal to counteract the enemy. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. Paul says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. The devil doesn't relax, filled with fury, because his time is short. Our time too is short, so we should realize that and allow God to fill us with passion and with zeal to do his work and to do his will. Not losing heart, not giving up, not growing tired, but being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer to the very end. Till Jesus takes us home or Jesus comes back. Because how many here, many times we can, our passion begins to drain. We lose that passion, that fire that we had when we first got saved. The devil hasn't lost his passion. He's coming at us with the same fervency. So we too, we can't lose our passion. We can't lose our zeal. Because God has given us the victory. He has enabled us, the people of God, to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy, the Bible says. But how many know we ain't going to overcome all the power of the enemy just kicking back, relaxing, hearing the message. That's a good word, Pastor Jamie. That's a good word, good word. And not do anything about it. The enemy loves that. Isn't that one of the enemy's greatest tactics, is to distract us from our real work that we have to do? He distracts us with all these worldly things, worldly pursuits, busyness of life, so that we never get around to doing God's work, God's business, as the worship team makes their way. How often, I got some questions here. How often do we treat the work of God with careless indifference? It's like the work of God. Well, it's somebody else's job. I don't need to do it. How often do we put off until tomorrow the things that should be done today? How often do we satisfy ourselves without any thought to those who desperately are needing a word or a helping hand? How often do we go to bed angry or bitter with unforgiveness in our hearts, not knowing if we'll wake up the next day? Luke chapter 12, verse 35 says, be dressed, this is Jesus speaking. He says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table and come and wait on them. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. We are God's servants. We are servants of Jesus. Amen. He is our master. I pray that he would find us ready, that he would find us working, laboring for his glory, for his honor. Let me ask you something. If this was your last opportunity, your last day, what are those things within your life that you would just cut off just like that if you knew Jesus was coming back today?